If you would turn to the book of Isaiah. Turn to the book of Isaiah in chapter 28. The book of Isaiah in chapter 28. I'll give you a moment to get there. And if you find your place, it'd be about page 764 if you got a Thompson Chain reference, but that's all I can tell you. Isaiah 28. And yours you got, verse 16. If you'll rise for the reading of the Word, we'll read just this one verse and then we'll begin. Isaiah here speaking says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." And Lord, this evening, do ask you to help us all, Lord, in the hearing of your word. Lord, that we have not only understanding and wisdom, but also strengthening, Lord, and also even the joy, Lord, that comes from understanding your word. I ask this, Lord, that we might stand sure and that we might be a beacon of light and of hope in a dark world. And I ask this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Reflecting, and as I say, it's troubled times right now, we know. Sometimes we cast about on what is it that we should dwell on? What is it we should think of? Well, I know of nothing better to think on than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Look, this is what this is speaking of. Isaiah here is prophesying the coming Messiah. Even the Jews allow that this is certainly what he's prophesying of. They just disagree about who the Messiah is. But here he says, "Behold, I lay in Zion." Zion is, of course, there. It speaks of Jerusalem in particular, but it speaks of that homeland of the Jews. I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. And it's that stone, it's that rock that we want to preach of tonight. Because in a world where there's not a lot that's very steady, there's one thing that's steady. There's one thing that's sure in my life and for any child of God, so for you as well. And that's that stone upon which we're built, that stone which is Jesus Christ. My friends, I don't know, it seems like from one year to another, who might grow closer to me and who might go further away. There's times that I have friends that have been good friends for years who just seemingly drift away, sometimes for no reason, sometimes they get their feelings hurt. And there's others it seems like I haven't heard from in years who'll come back. That's the nature of things when it comes to people. But there's one who sticks with you no matter what. And no matter whether you're doing good or doing bad, and whether you say wise things or say foolish things, there's one friend that sticks closer than a brother who's always with you. And that's our sure stone. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so looking at this scripture, there's comfort in here. And the fact that there is something steady in this world. In a world that changes its mind about everything. In a world that can't seem to do right no matter what. There's one thing that I can count on. And that's that sure stone, that foundation stone that is Jesus Christ. But he speaks here, Isaiah does, a little more particularly about Jesus, other than just simply saying he's a rock, although that's plenty there. But he says of this stone, he says a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And so we look at Jesus Christ, who's a tried stone. Why is it even necessary that you would have a tried stone? Well, you don't want to rest on something that's unsteady. If you weren't sure of a stone, you certainly wouldn't want to build on it. If the builders came and said, "This is a new kind of stone, maybe we can lay this for a foundation," my first question would be, "Can it bear the load? I don't know. Is this a good foundation stone?" And so somebody has to try the stone. And this stone that is the Lord Jesus Christ has been tried in every way that he could be tried. We see the very first thing that happened in his ministry as soon as he came and was baptized of John the Baptist. And by the way, that is the beginning of the gospel. Mark chapter 1 and verse 1 starts out the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ and proceeds immediately to the baptism which John gave him. Peter in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, before the day of Pentecost, when they said they must needs find a man to replace Judas and to replace him and to fill his bishopric, said, "We must needs find some man who is with us from the beginning, from John." See, John's baptism right there started the gospel of Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures. That means that his whole ministry that he lived in front of us, his whole life is part of the glorious gospel that we have, that glorious gospel that we build upon, which is Jesus Christ. That means that it's safe to look at the life of Christ and to look at the teachings of Christ and build on them, because that's all part of that sure stone, that foundation stone that is Jesus Christ. You can look at what Jesus did and you can build on it. You can look at what He said and what He taught and you can build on it. And you can be sure of it. It's going to stand. It's a tried stone. Immediately after His baptism, He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, you may remember, and was out there for 40 days and fasted 40 days. He was being tried. He was being tried even then to see if He would be able to conquer the natural desires, which He certainly did. He certainly did. But that was not enough even then. But he was tried of Satan. Tried three times. And Satan finally told him, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms of the world. Basically, he wanted to call a truce and say, if you'll put me on equal terms with God, then I'll give you everything in the world. You don't have to die for it. But our Lord was not willing to call a truce with the devil. Oh no, he said, you've already crossed and you've turned from worshiping the God who made you. There will be no truce. Our Lord was tried. He wouldn't have had to have died had he made that truce with the devil, but he would not do so. The devil found no weakness in this cornerstone. He tried him, but he found no weakness. There was no cracks in this firm stone. He was tried by the religious crowd. The Pharisees came and tried him and asked him hard questions. And the Sadducees came and they asked him hard questions. And the Herodians came and they asked him hard questions. And they tried to find some little place where they could make him back up, make him stutter, make him stammer, make him have to think. But they found no wavering. But he knew what he believed. He believed the truth. He was the truth. And he never wavered. He's a sure stone. He was tried by the religious leaders. Hey, if you build on Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about what Dr. Anybody says. You don't have to worry about what Brother Anybody says. But if you built on that sure foundation that is Jesus Christ, you won't have to be shaken. You won't waver. There'll be no weakness because the foundation is sure. The foundation was tried. And it was tried not only by the devil, not only by the religious leaders, but it was tried by the law of man. As he stood in front of Pilate, and we're told he witnessed a good confession. He was tried, and Pilate found nothing in him whatsoever that was evil, that it was untoward. There was nothing in there that he had done that was wrong. The law of man tried him as hard as they could and could not find him guilty. Can I ask you this? If the law of man tried you, would they find you guilty of anything? Have you ever broken the laws of man? Have you ever been guilty of anything that you could be found guilty of in a court of law? I wouldn't pass that test either. But there's one who did. Though he was tried by man and tried in the courts of man, tried by the law of man, they found that he stood with no fear whatsoever because he knew he had done no wrong. He stood in perfect faith of his innocence. He's a tried stone. He's a tried stone. Not only was he tried by the law of man, but he was tried by the law of God. Now you think about that. The law of God, which was given by Moses to the children of Israel, which no man had ever kept. No man had ever kept that law. But Jesus Christ fulfilled that law, tried by the law of God. He alone could fulfill it. Have you ever thought about what it takes, even just to obey the Ten Commandments? Just obey the Ten Commandments. You might obey Commandments 2 through 9, but 1 and 10 get every man that walks. Number 1 says, you'll have no other gods before me. There's never been a man that walked that obeyed that one other than Jesus Christ. He did His Father's will in all things. He and He alone. Every one of the rest of us have failed that. But Jesus passed that test. He's a tried stone. The last commandment says, thou shalt not covet. And I'll ask you again, have you ever heard of anybody who didn't look and desire the things of this world? Every one of us have. Our flesh desires the thing of this world, whether we do anything wrong to get them or not. But Jesus had no desire for the things of this world. but he desired to do his Father's will. He obeyed even the first and last commandment, which none of us have ever been able to do. Obeyed every law that was given by Moses. No other person ever did. Had anybody been able to obey the law, then we would have all been condemned by that person. And that person alone would have been saved. And Jesus wouldn't have come to die for us. But it's because nobody could fulfill the law that Jesus Christ Himself did. He's the only one that could ever pass that test. But He was tried by the toughest of all tests, and He passed. Tried by the law of God, and there was no failure in Jesus Christ. He's the sure stone. He's the tried stone. He was tried by His own body. You know, just to show us that it is possible. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh, though He knew not sin. He came in a body like yours and mine. But though He came in a body like yours and mine, He didn't fail where we did. You know, when He was getting beat by the Roman soldiers, He could have simply called a legion of angels. He could have called one angel. He could have done it Himself. He could have got off that cross. He could have at any time said, "Stop, this is it. I can't take it anymore." During those 40 days we talked about, He could have commanded those stones to be made into bread and stop that fast, but He wouldn't do it. No, He didn't give in to His body, but He passed that test. He was tried by His own body, but there was no flinching. It says in Isaiah, just a few chapters over, in chapter 50, it says, with the Lord speaking, in verse 5, it says, "The Lord God hath opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." That's Christ speaking. You know what it means to set your face like a flint? Have any of you ever worked with flint at all, or even collected flint? Flint is a hard, hard stone. It won't bend. The fact that of its hardness is what makes it a great stone for making blades out of. It's why they made arrowheads out of it and knives out of it. As a matter of fact, even in modern times it's been used in surgery because of its sharpness. That's because it's hard. It's hard. He set his face like a flint. He was not going to be denied. He was not going to budge. He was not going to fail the test. He was tried by His own body. He was tried in every way, but He did not flinch. He set His face like a flint. It says in Hebrews, "For the joy that was set before Him," is why He went forward. For the joy that was set before Him, that He went through all of this. He's a tried stone. The very last trial itself was that He was made humble to death. He was made to die who had no cause to die, had no reason to die other than you and I. There was no other reason why. He didn't have to be humble to death and obedient to death, but He became obedient to death. But death itself could not rule over Jesus Christ. Could not. It were not possible even that death could rule over Jesus Christ. Could not be possible, for He had done no sin. And death, the strength of death, is in sin. But having done no sin, death could not rule over Him. He was tried by death itself and came out victorious. Swallowed up death in victory. He's a tried stone. There's nothing that can be tried on this sure foundation that hasn't been tried. Jesus has been tried every way that anybody could be tried. He's went through every trial that you go through, and He's went through every trial that every man and woman has ever went through. He's a tried stone. It says, "I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone." But I want to move on to the next part. It says, "A precious cornerstone." We don't get the full meaning of the word precious, I think, anymore. We use it lightly. We'll look at a child and say, aren't they precious? Or even a little puppy or kitten, say, aren't they precious? And they're cute and they're beautiful and everything else. But the word precious means more than that. It means more than that. When we speak of precious stones, when we speak of gems that are precious, there's two things that come to mind. A stone is not precious unless first it's rare. rare. Something that's common is not really precious. The definition of precious includes the fact that it's rare and that it's valuable. Jesus was indeed rare. Indeed rare. As a matter of fact, He's the rarest of all. Because for everything that you can find on this earth, there's another one. It may be so rare that there's only five of them, or so rare there's only ten, but there's only one of these stones. There's only one stone that's the foundation stone. There's none other like Him. He's indeed rare. There's none other that could do what He did. As a matter of fact, it says that there's none other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. There's only one. That's as rare as it gets. There's no other name. You can't be saved by the name of Buddha. You can't be saved by the name of Allah. You can't be saved by the name of anybody else, but only by Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus of Nazareth. Only by His name can you be saved. He's the rarest of all. He's indeed the rose of Sharon, indeed the lily of the valleys. And it didn't say, "I'm one of the roses of Sharon." Oh no, He's the rose. He's the lily of the valley. He's the one and only. He's the only one that could. In Revelation, we find that there was none found worthy, no man found worthy to open that book. But then they searched and found that Lamb slain, as it were, from the foundation of the world. There's only one. Oh, He's precious. He's the only one. He's the only one that could do what He did. None of us could have done it. Even had you and I been willing to go to that cross, even if we'd been willing to, we have sin in our own life. And there's no way we could pay even for our own sin, much less the sins of anyone else. If you had the opportunity to go on that cross to pay for the sins of your husband or your wife, there are some that would do it, but they wouldn't be able to. Because a sinful life can't pay for a sinful life. It took the one perfect one, the one who had been through all these trials that we spoke of, the one that had been tried in every way, was the only one. That's what makes Him precious. There's none other that could do it. He's the only one. There was none other that would do it. Oh, we'd like to think that I'd be willing to go, but really we wouldn't. We wouldn't pass the test. Though we might be willing to die, none of us have been able to deny ourselves so completely. As a matter of fact, if you want to know the proof that you wouldn't be able to, you haven't been able to. You haven't been able to. But you failed, and you fell down. And I don't mean 10 years ago or 5 years ago. You've done it more recent than that. I don't know the latest time or the last time that you've failed God and failed to do right. But you failed. And so that I know that there's no way that you could do what He did. None of us could, none of us would. But Jesus alone could and would live a perfect life and die for the sins of all mankind. He's the most precious of all. Of course, precious doesn't only mean rare. It also means valuable. It also means valuable. Now, how valuable can it get? There's none more valuable than this. Let me ask you this. How valuable is love to you? Have you ever been at a point of depression in your life where you felt like there was nobody who loved you? I mean, we speak of this. I'm not talking about just having a regular old mully grubs. Have you ever been in a deep pit of depression? Most people go through that at least once somewhere in their life. Some go through it more than others. But if you've ever been in that deep, dark pit where you just feel like there's nothing in this world that's any good and there's nobody that cares for you, then you know the value of love. It's incredibly valuable. If you ever feel like you're without it, you'll know how much it's worth. Oh, how precious is Christ? You know that love is of God, and God is love, and God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That love, oh yes, it's valuable. How about peace? Is peace valuable to you? Does peace mean anything at all to you? Peace is through the Lord Jesus Christ and through no other way. Through no other way. And I've got one other for you. How valuable is your soul? For what can a man give in exchange for his soul? The Bible asks us. And what would you give on that day when your soul is weighed and you stand before God? How valuable will it be to know that Jesus Christ has died for you? When you look at those who are going off to an eternity in a lake of fire, forever to be tormented, forever to have no hope, forever to see nothing but destruction and to feel pain eternally. How valuable will it be to escape that destruction and instead to live with Christ forever? Indeed, He's a precious stone. A precious stone. He's the most rare and He's the most valuable of any stone. There's nothing more rare. There's nothing more valuable than Christ. There's none better. He's altogether lovely, it says in the Scriptures. There's none like Him. Never will be any like Him. The song says no one ever... I've lost it. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. And nobody ever did. Nobody ever did. Oh, there's people who I've liked and I've loved, and you too. And there's people who have liked me for whatever reasons. And there's those who have loved me. But you know, none of it approaches the love of Jesus Christ. None of it. It's the most valuable, most precious that's ever out there. It says that He's sure. A tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. A sure foundation. To be a sure foundation, the first thing is it has to be proven. But we've spoken of that, how He's been tried by every way, by everything that a person can be tried by. Tried as much as anything can be tried. And there's no trial that remains for Him to be tried by. For He's faced it all and had victory over all. But there's something else too. To be a sure foundation, it has to be a lasting foundation. For no matter how sure it is today, if that foundation is going away tomorrow, I wouldn't call it sure. I wouldn't build a house on something that was only going to last 5 years. And you sure can't build eternity on something unless you know it's eternal itself. He's a sure foundation. He was with the Father throughout all of eternity past. There are those who don't believe that. Jehovah's Witness believe He was recreated and He wasn't with God throughout all of eternity past. They're wrong. And I wonder how sure is their foundation if they believe in something that doesn't, that's not been eternal. But I believe in something eternal. I believe in Jesus Christ, who's always been with the Father and who's always been in right standing with His Father and who's had the heart of His Father throughout all of eternity past and always will throughout all of eternity future. I believe in a sure foundation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Son of the eternal Father. Eternal. Never changing. Always going to be there for us. It's been 2,000 years now, roundabouts, since Jesus walked this earth. But His teachings remain, and they haven't changed a bit. They've not gotten better or worse. They remain perfect. They can't get better. And neither is it possible for them to get any worse. And His testimony remains sure. He's never changed a bit. He's a sure foundation. And you know, I don't have to worry about a changing foundation. And I've said it before, I wouldn't trust a foundation that had to change every generation to fit a new generation. Any kind of God that has to change every generation is worthless. And anybody that believes in a God that has to appear differently every generation to fit a new generation believes in a worthless God. But I believe in one that's sure and that's tried and that's always been the same and always will be the same and will never change. He'll always be there for me. And whatever I build on Him will always be able to stand because He's the sure foundation. And it's the reason that I know that He's a lasting foundation is not because that everything built on Him is faithful to Him. In other words, not because I'm faithful to Him, but because He's faithful to me. He's the faithful one. Jesus Christ is the faithful one. He's a sure foundation. You can trust Jesus Christ. He's begun a work in you and He'll finish it. He saved you. Does anybody believe that He saved them? Amen. Does anybody believe then that He'll be there waiting for you on the other side? Amen. All throughout your life here, He said, "Lo, I'm with you always." Always. He's a sure foundation. Not only in this life, but in the life to come. Oh, that's good. That's good. To know that I have something that's going to stand the test of time in a world that changes every day. To know that I have a sure stone. A cornerstone, by the way. You know, because it says it's a sure foundation. Not just a sure stone, a sure foundation. A foundation, and He's a cornerstone on the foundation. So what can I build on that foundation? Well, I can build on it. First off, anything that'll measure up to the cornerstone. Do y'all know what a cornerstone is? When you lay the cornerstone, it's perfectly square. And everything in that building. First, everything in the foundation, and then from the foundation to the walls, and by that, everything else. See, everything in that building must be square and plumb with that cornerstone. What can you build on the Lord Jesus Christ? Everything that is square and plumb with that cornerstone. And nothing else. Nothing else can be built on it. How would you know that it's square and plumb without cornerstone? Well, is it found in the blueprint? That's how you know. Where's the blueprint? It's right here. We're given the instructions right here. If it's found in this blueprint, you can build it on that foundation. You can build love and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost right here. It's in the blueprint. It's right here for you. You can have peace. You can have wisdom. It's right here. You can build that. Whatever you can find on this in this blueprint, you can build on that cornerstone. And it will measure up. And it will be square. And it will be plumb. And it will be acceptable. And it will last forever. And your works that are built on that foundation will last in the trials. We spoke about the other day how our works will be tried as by fire. Says some being as gold and silver and precious jewels, again, coming through the fire. And others as wood and hay and stubble to be burned and consumed. Whatever is in here, you can build. If it's commanded in here, if it's told to you in here, love your neighbor as yourself, you can build that on that foundation. If it's told to you in here, and there's much that's told to you in here, everything from how to raise a family, how to treat your husband and wife, all these things are found in here, and they're built on the sure foundation. But the greatest of them all is how to be reconciled with God the Father. How to be reconciled with the Creator who created us. And I speak of salvation. That's in this blueprint here. And before anything can be built on that foundation, that cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ, the remain that salvation has to be built first. But it's built on a sure stone. It's built on a tried stone. It's built on a precious cornerstone. And it says, he that believeth shall not make haste. Now to give you an idea of what that means, or to give you what that means, it's speaking in the rest of this chapter, it was speaking of those who would flee from the judgment that was to come. And that's what it's speaking about by making haste to flee. But if you build on that stone, see, you won't have to flee. You won't have fear. You won't have cowardice. But you can be sure. You can have that solid peace in your heart that will let you stand no matter what happens. No matter what this world says or does, no matter what people around you say or do, you can have that peace in your heart that you're built on the sure foundation, that you're built on a precious cornerstone. And you'll have no need to flee when the judgment comes, because you'll know that you're going to pass the judgment. You know that you're going to pass the mark. The plumb line can drop. And if you're square with that cornerstone, you're going to be all right. There'll be no need for us to run, no need for us to hide, if we're built on that sure foundation, that precious cornerstone, that tried stone, which is Jesus Christ. Listen, I know who I'm preaching to. I realize that I'm not preaching a tent meeting where everybody out there, or most everybody out there, is lost. I'm preaching to the church. What I'm trying to preach to you is your strength. Your strength. This world stands against everything we stand for. But I want you to remember your strength. You're on a sure foundation. You've been measured to a precious cornerstone. And you've been laid on that sure foundation. You can trust it. No matter what this world says, oh, it'll mock what you're building. It will mock your foundation. It will tell you it won't stand. But you can trust it. It's been tried. And you can have peace in your heart knowing you're built on a sure foundation. I want you to have that peace. I want you to have that in you, that you know for sure that nothing's going to shake you. You can know that. You don't have to worry. I don't want you to be filled with worry. I want you to be filled with a certainty that where you stand is the right place to stand. And that no matter what, that foundation that you're built upon is not going to move and it's not going to betray you. But you have no fears. You don't have to make haste, as the Scripture says. But you can stand solid with no worries, built on a sure foundation. I'd like to close it out there. Being Sunday night, I know that you've got to go out tomorrow about your normal business, whether it be in the workplace or whether it just be around your normal duties around the house. Don't let the turmoil of this world upset your peace. But remember what you're built on. Remember who you're built on. Remember that He's sure, and that means that you are too. I'll ask Brother Craig, would you close us out in a word of prayer, sir?